Okay, today's daf is daf chet, and we've been discussing last year. We started talking about the concept of the chazaka, and that's well, there are two types of chazaka. It's important to understand the chazaka we were discussing is the chazaka where if someone's been on a property or has an eved or other items, we've said like mentioned in the Mishnah, well, avadim are closest associated with actual land property. Has been there for 3 years, is assumed to be the owner of it. Doesn't have to bring it if he claims he purchased it, not just if he's been happened to be squatting there. Okay, says, but when in other words, if he was challenged, say, where's all the purchase, where's all the shtara, doesn't have to produce it. Okay, that's what we're discussing last time. What I'm mentioning here is another type of chazaka, and that's a kinyan chazaka. Kinyan chazaka is if I'm trying to sell you, okay, if I sell you an immovable object, we know when it comes to movable objects, you can do a kinyan by just depending on the size of it, either by lifting halakba'ah, mashicha, type of hand picking up the object or pulling it towards you, whichever is relevant for the size of the object we discussed in the past. There's also a kinyan chazaka. Kinyan chazaka. So when it comes to land, though, there's different ways to purchase land: kesef, shtar, or chazaka. Now, chazak, in other words, what closes the sale? So a chazaka, where is someone demonstrates their ownership over that property? That's a kinyan chazaka. So one way of doing that is Shimon Barba says B'shem Rabbi Yochanan Mocher Beit Lacha Baruch Kiman Shemasol LaMafdeach Kana. In other words, the kinyan can be closed already once he's handed over the keys, because the person who has the keys to the property, that is, like, if you like, he has control over it, that demonstrates his ownership over it. So Rav Ami says B'shem Rabbi Yochanan Mocher Beit Lacha Baruch Kiman Shetabad L'Tocho Peirot Kana. If he simply comes and piles in some perilous produce in the house, there would also be an act that demonstrates his ownership of the of this land, of this house. However, Amrav Shimon Bar Yitzchak Bilvav Perot Jorim Litzpor. That's only talking about produce that's ra'ui to be put in piles. If you just simply dump all your stuff in, that doesn't necessarily mean to demonstrate ownership. So we're talking about making a particular pile. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan says B'shem Rabbi Yana, he mocher bay l'chaviro, kivan shel maso, sorry, mocher bor l'chaviro, again, a water hole, kivan shema, or well, kivan shemasa lo dalyo kana. Once he hands over the Dalyo, the way the Marafuld explains it, means a bucket. Other Mafarshim say it's actually a cover. But again, this is the critical piece of this well. Then that would be, again, that is giving him the item for which is the kinyan through which kinyan chazaka before. Okay, yafeh. Now the Gemara says, Reish Lakish says, B'shem Rabbi Yanai, Hamocher, that's a curious change here, Hamocher tzon lechaviro, kimech samal kana. So if someone's trying to sell his flock. Now, we discussed this sugya back in Masechta Kiddushin as well. If he wants to sell his flock to his friend, once he gives over the mashchuchit, he's kone all of the flock. Okay? Now, the question is, what's this mashchuchit that he's being doing kinyan through? And we discussed this in the past, through which he's able to kone all the entire flock. My mashchuchit, itta amrim, some say that it's actually a chutra, the stick, the shepherd's stick, which he controls the flock. Itta marin, the Pandora. The gears that we had last time when the Kiddushin was Sharkukita, I think it is, which is some sort of a like a bell, some sort of an instrument, which again is used to control the flock. However, it means like Taisha Rabba. It was like the lead old goat of which it was again used to control the flock. So the handing over that would also close a kinyan. Okay, let's continue. Reish Lakish says B'shem Bar Kafra, Hamocher Kever L'Chaverov. He's selling a kever now. The way it used to, we've discussed cases like this. They used to have burial caves in which there were burial like sort of kuchim, these little slots in the wall. So if someone's trying to sell one of those to somebody else, and again, that wasn't done with money, it wasn't done with a shtar. So we're trying to say at what point is the chazaka being kona over the various either parts or all of it. So the Gemara now says, what just burying someone, one person a kuch, it says, if one says, pardon me, the Gemara says, kivan shekavar had bekuch. Now, one placing one body in one of the kuchim doesn't give you the whole kinyan of the whole thing. It's just for one kuch and if you like the surrounds of it. However, if you buried three people in this whole kever, which is like this sort of burial cave, if you like, then it's already kuchim in three of the kuchim, that would be enough of a chazaka. Again, obviously, if you wanted to have the close of kinyan earlier, then you could do it with a kesef or shtar. They were saying if it's through by mechanisms of a chazaka, that would be the limits of it in order to do so. Okay, let's go back to the concept of another chazaka, the chazaka we were talking about, which is the topic of a masechta, the chazaka patim. One of the things we mentioned was avadim. So then it triggers another discussion within the Gemara. Rav Simon Achoy de Rebbe Yehuda bar Abzavadi says, but it said name of Rav. Tinok, a baby, let's say a baby's in the marketplace, called Manshe Mushlach Bashuk, as long as it's in the marketplace on its own, Aviv or Imo Me'iden Alav, either the father or the mother can testify that that's my child, or one on their own. Nesat Min Ashuk, if Rav has been already, there was it, it was collected away from the Shuk, then you need Sricha, Tzarich Shnei Eden. You need two Eidim to identify who this child is. The Aviv V'Imo and the mother and father together can say, this is our child. And it's important to identify the thing. And Nasin Lo K'Shnei Eidim. Okay? In other words, you don't need proper Kasher Eidim, it sounds like. It's sufficient to just have two Eidim. So the Gemara says, so Rav Aval says, B'chashud Adam Lomar Misha Einu B'no Shul B'no. Is someone really chashud? In other words, why is it that suddenly, once it's taken from the Shuk, that suddenly it's not as sufficient to say one parent is enough? You need both parents to come along. What changed? You think one per an individual is going to say, this is my child? So the Gemara says, no, Dilma ben Nichsei HaGerit Amit. Now, this is an interesting case, what I'm doing with Nichsei HaGerit Amit. I'll show you the Pnei Moshe, actually. He says, Shema lo amru ela beger she'ein lo yorshim. Maybe we're talking about the person who's saying, this is my child, is a ger that has no yorshim. We had no idea that he had any children yet. Okay. Ubahahu, who de'ika lameima de'osif lo chad min ha'shuk. And perhaps he's just collected some sort of child from the market because he wants his money to, at least all these assets, to go to somewhere. He wants to direct it to somewhere. Okay. Well, who? That's why who on his own? That's maybe why the situation changes. Because the case of Nechzer Ger, if it was to be, if it was to die, there'd probably be Hefger, and it would go to everybody. This is the suggestion we're saying now. So we're saying maybe the reason why that if Nesaf bin Ashuk, suddenly we say the situation changes because we're dealing with Nechzei Ager, and his testimony would be Chavla Acharini, would have consequences for other people because they can't now take his property. So maybe that's why we need a, that's why the situation changes. Not enough to Aviv, you need Aviv V'Imo. However, the Gemara doesn't like that. Says Amrele, no. Amrele, Hare Kol Rabotei Agola Me'iden Lav Shekach Shamanuha, this is what we heard, Mipi Rav Ada Baravua, that once it's taken from the Shuk, it doesn't matter. We're not talking about Nechzer Ger. In any case situation, you need Aviv Imo. Now, what's really interesting here is the Ribaz. He cites the Bavli that says that why is it when it's taken away, so, okay, not taken away, when it's no longer in the Shuk anymore, so it's found in the Shuk, was messed up in the Shuk, now you need proper Eidim. Because now it's Yatsa Alav Shema Sufi. Because once a child has been collected from the shuk, it's taken away, it now has the status of an asufi. An asufi, as we know, is someone whose parents, we don't know who the parents are. So to change the status of this child from being an asufi, that's why you now need two witnesses. Now you can understand why it's different. Meaning if it's found in the shuk and the parents are there, that's miyad, it doesn't get a status of an asufi. But once it's taken away from the shuk, that's why he's saying, this is according to Bavli, this is not, he's saying, this is not what the Yerushalmi say, I'll get to it in a moment. That's why you now need shtei edim. Because you need proper two witnesses to identify who the parents of this child are to remove the status of which it's attained of being an asufi. Okay? That's what we're saying. But al korchach lefishita bavli lifer rav lo mahani. According to that, according to Rav and the Bavli, the aviv v'imo wouldn't be sufficient. Yerushalmi says now you need aviv v'imo, but according to Bavli, he says it wouldn't be sufficient. You need two kosher edim to change the status. Kimratza alav shem asufi. Since you've given it the status of an asufi, it's ne'esaf min ashuk, you don't know who the parents are. Then that's why you need shteinim to change its status, not to sufi, because we've seen the consequences of making mesech the kedushin of who a sufi is allowed to marry. Safek mamzer, aval shitat Yerushalmi de lo katayim the rav ela kach mekubal zot kedemasik. It seems to be the Yerushalmi is not like the rav's shat in the Bavli. Ela korbe gugal meinen aleinu shakach shamanuah kinyin the ribaz vehi. This is the one that there are three things that can be testified to immediately, meaning even one person can say, yes, it's mine, the child in the shuk, as long as it's still there. So in other words, we have the shuk is a tremendous leniency that you don't need proper testimony. A person can say, yeah, it's mine. Even the father or the mother alone can say, it's my child, because that's something mashalatar. The child is sitting there in shuk, and he says, yes, it's my child. The person says, yeah, it's my child. It's absolutely Alatar is fine. Once it's been moved, that's no longer considered Alatar. Yerushalmi doesn't say like the Bavli, the Rav Shi, and the Bavli. Now it's got a Huchsak Psul. Because then you need two palm witnesses. However, Kimish Samim Kom Al Ken, that's why you still would need the father and the mother together, okay, to be able to testify. Because there's some sort of a chazaka here that they're not going to team up, if you like, they're both, not both, both going to agree together regarding a child that's not the child type of thing. That's why you sort of work together, but you don't need a proper testimony. Okay, just said there. So it seems to be, according to Yerushalmi, okay, according to the Bavli, Al Atar, everyone agrees Al Atar, just the parents, the person's allowed to believe immediately if there's a child right next to him, the Shukiyat, my child. Okay, as soon as it's taken away, according to Bavli, it's got a status in a Sufi, you need proper witnesses. But according to the Yerushalmi, it seems to be, for whatever reason, its status has changed, not to the Alatar, but it's just sufficient still, doesn't have a Shem and a Sufi, it's just it's still deficient, sorry, it's still sufficient to have just Aviv more together to say, yeah, this is our child and it'll be sufficient. Okay.
It sounds like it's a big opening to the possibility of kidnapping.
Yes. It sounds like it, but again, if two real witnesses come along and say, "What are you talking about? This is this individual's child," then it'd be fine. But you'll see in a minute that it's not so clear with kidnapping. I'll explain why in a minute, because the Gemara is going to continue. You'll see here as it continues, it says. Yeah, so Amrav Chista, had a detema betinok she'enu margia. This whole leniency that someone in the shuk can say, oh, the child that's there, yes, this is my child, and he doesn't have a status. It's still fee, all the consequences of your sin. That's regarding a child that can't crawl or walk around. That's a real leniency. Aval betinok margia, a child that can start walking around, or yes, margia is like crawling. Then that situation, we say that's not the case. The fact that he's next to him is saying, Alatar, yes, this is my child. It could be the child walked from another place, got lost in the market. Okay? So that might set your mind slightly at ease. In that situation, it wouldn't be sufficient for a person to say, yeah, that's my child, and we believe him. We're talking about a situation where we're talking about a child that couldn't crawl or walk around. Okay? That might alleviate your concerns, not 100%, but certainly somewhat. Okay? The Gemara says, "How did the how do Amar Rabbi Yochanan?" It's exactly the case. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Agalim v'sayachim." We're talking about little calves or little young donkeys. It is, I think it is. We say, "Hamakbitzim makom," that can like walk around and jump around, move around. Ein lahem chazaka, meaning the fact that it's in your like there's an one of these little animals in your field, and you say, "Oh yeah, it's mine." Because normally we say like with metaltalin, possession is 9/10 of the law. Motzi machavara lavaraya, that type of thing. But things that can move around on their own, possession is not a chazaka. Okay? Because this thing could have just simply walked there. That's what we're trying to say. Fine, let's continue. Rabbi Yossi says, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Shtei sadot b'nichsei ager. Again, this is another sukkah we saw back in Masechta Kedushin. So if you've got two fields that are worth for nichsei ager, so again, this is a ger conferred on no yorshim, so when it's niftar, everything's hefker. And whoever claims it can take it. So let's say it has two fields. And there's a meitzar, there's a dividing, if you like, a dividing part in between the two fields. Okay? Bentayim, talash me'acha mehen, he starts pulling some of the produce out of the ground to do a chazaka, to say, this is mine. Because in this situation, there's no kesef, there's no shtar, the only way you can kone the field to say it's mine is through some sort of chazaka. And it talash me'acha mehen likno chavrato. But what he wants to do, he wants to do a chazaka on one and also acquire the other one on the other side of the meitzar. So the Gemara says, well, that doesn't work. He says, he niknet v'chaver niknet. It would work for the one he's holding, but the other one, the division doesn't, because it's on the side of the divider, they're not considered a continuous piece, and therefore he can't have it. Rav Zera says, Bai kamei Rav Yossi, nikaven niknot mina meitzah. What if he wanted to do some sort of tlisha on the meitzah itself? Without corner the both, for shari minei. Now, shari minei, we explained it previously, just like Gemara Ful explains here, shari minei means he shmit me'ano. He sort of slipped away because he had a suffix. He couldn't really answer. He wasn't sure what the din would be. Okay. Amrav Chisa benichse ager, talash tzafone shel sadeh liknot droma. If someone did a tlisha, took some of the, again, some of the produce from the north to acquire also the south of the field, but didn't want the middle strip in the field. So he's effectively created a meitzar as a result. So it's not a continuous piece. We say in that situation, well, the tzafone he acquires, but the droma he does not acquire. Very similar din. Zadlak, you can't do a chazak on one to be kind of something else that's simply detached from it. That's very important for the continuation of the Gemara. Let's continue. Taman Tanina. kana. So that case, Mitzvah we'll see, but I'll just explain it in the Marafulda. He says Tamantaninan, that's much later on. We're talking about Pishtan flax. It's Mukhuba Lakarka. And he wants to acquire it. He doesn't want the land. He just wants the Pishtan itself. If he's Talash Kolshuhu, then it says Kana. It sounds like he acquired, and it's part of the Kinyan to acquire all the Pishtan. He says he's caught the whole thing. Shmuel says, no, look, Kana Lamasha Talash. Absolutely not. He only acquires that which he picked up. So Amar Avduma, Nechuta, that Shit of Shmuel must be Benichse Ager Itamir. Why Benichse Ager? Meaning, we're not talking about a normal Kenyan where he's purchasing Pishtun for somebody else. He's got his Ager who's Niftar his field, and he's now wants to acquire the Pishtun. What we're saying is, Shmuel's saying, if you pick up a little bit, that's all you got. You can't. He doesn't acquire all other Pishtun. Why? This fits in beautifully. We're saying, Shreda Pane Moshe, Romash Lokona Elamash of Lashmin Chzedar, the Sphere like Kenyan and Rebbe Emsa, because there's space in between. Lokana Asher. That's why it's not a continuous thing. Because he didn't acquire the land in between. But Damili, the Rav Chissa, that's exactly like Rav Chissa said above. That when again, Rav Chissa said above that if you're trying to purchase land, like not purchase, you're trying to Zoche, acquire the land from Nichzei Ager. And you say, I want the north part of the field and the south, but not the middle, and you do a chazak on the north part, since it's Avir Be'emtza, it splits the two and it won't work. So it seems to be that's why when Shmuel says by simply tolesh some of the Pishtan, it'll only take you'll only require that Pishtun. The rest of it must be talking about the kula of not the kula the situation nichzei ager because it's avir be'emtza. So Gemara explains a bit more detail because it's important. Gemara says Rav Chista Amar Rav Yisach, begin. Why are you saying this? D'lo teima kasha leShmuel at mar nichzei ager itamrit. Because otherwise Shmuel be a kasha on himself. Now what's a kasha on Shmuel? I'll just show you the Pnei Moshe, sorry Marafulda now. He says, "Begin the lotikshe, bishvil the lotikshe shmul the amra filu esad dadov." Because Shmuel holds in a normal kinyan situation. Let's say I'm trying to purchase 10 different fields from you, esasadot, but esad meaning on different clay, different places altogether. Kimach shizikechabim, once I do a chazak on one, in other words, we agree I'm buying 10 fields from you. I can simply do a chazak on one, and I'll purchase them all, despite the fact they're in different countries, okay, or different states, whatever it is. Karakulam. That's why you have to say that when it comes to the Pishtun, it must be talking about Nichzei Ager. Tach Nichzei Ager shekoneh belo damim ma she'ein ken belo keach. So what the Marafol does explain beautifully, he says, Ken Peresh HaRambam, is what's the difference in Nichzei Ager and a normal acquisition, where, and again, a normal acquisition you're doing by King Nechazaka, it doesn't matter if there's Avir Be'emtza. But according to, but it seems like when Nichzei Ager, it does matter that it's Avir Be'emtza. This is why I explain Shmuel. Is because with a kinyan, ultimately you're going to be paying money, it sounds like. So therefore, it somehow the Avir Be'emtz is not such a big hindrance, let's put it that way. Okay? It closes a deal, you do a chazaka, and the money binds it all together, beseder. However, when it comes to, or let's say the money, if you like, itself that was agreed upon, connects all the fields together. Another way of explaining it. But when it comes to you're taking something from Nechzei Ager, that's Mehefker. So therefore, there's nothing that's binding all the different disparate pieces of land that you want to acquire. So that's why if the Avir Be'emtza is separates between the two. Yeah. Let's continue. Gemara says, Rav Chista Amar Mashach Be'ma Zu Liknot Kana. If you did Meshicha on a cow, well, there's no Chazak on a cow. Meshicha, it's like a metal type of thing. You do Meshicha on a cow to acquire the cow, you've bought the cow. Liknot Val, what if you do Meshicha on a cow to purchase the Vlad, meaning the offspring, Lo Kana. If it's like God, he uvaldoteya, then kana. Yefe. The Gemara says, so what's the din now? Amrav hadad etem b'shlata ubara. So Ramnas is assuming if I'm trying to do Meshicha on a cow to acquire the ubara, the offspring, that's the assumption is she wasn't yet pregnant. So therefore, I'm trying to acquire something that is, the future offspring of the cow, let's call it that. That's why it wouldn't be kona. However, aval imaita ubara. But if it's already pregnant, why can't you treat it? He's saying, let's just treat it like another limb, so I can do meshicha on the cow to acquire its leg. Let's for example. So this is the same thing. The Gemara says that doesn't work. Why? If someone tries to sell the ubar, the offspring of his animals to his friend, it doesn't work. Shifra, offspring of his Shifra, also doesn't work. Masrot Sadeh Lachabro, trying to sell the masrot of his friend of his field to his friend, it also doesn't work. Lasaklum. Avir the air spaces of his churvato, Lachabro, lo asaklum. So, oh, a lot of these first things, the reason is because it's what's called the Bashalo Bala Olam, or it comes to Avira Sadeh, Imbo Mamashut. Okay? However, what you can do, Elamocher lo behema, you can sell the behema, your own animal, umeshayer and retain, meaning don't have a full sale, and retain the ubar, mocher lo shivcha b'sheir vlada, mocher sadeh b'sheir masrot, masrot mocher chuva masher lo avir. So what's the proof here? So let me show you the Marfulda, he says. It says, v'atanya, why? Because you can't acquire something that has not yet come into the world. So therefore, how can you acquire here the ubar? Now there's a lot of assumptions, and when it comes to the avira churba, it says davar, that's right, because there's no substance, you can't buy the avir. Now the assumption that really underpins the Yerushalmi here, that to make this even a kasha, is that when it says you can't sell the ubar to your friend of an animal, it must already be pregnant. Because you could be saying, and therefore the Gemara understands by building the kasher in this way that it's still considered lo davar shebaal, it's not davar shebaal olam, despite the fact it's forming inside the mother until it comes out, it's considered lo davar shebaal, it's a davar shebaal olam. Okay? That's really the assumption. Otherwise, you could simply say, why is this even a kasher? It could be talking about a case where the offspring, there is an animal's not pregnant, and we're talking about trying to buy the rights or the future offspring that will be coming. But the fact that the Gemara sets it up this way as a kasha must be that the ubar, once, even when the ubar is inside the already formed inside the cow, we say that it's already not considered vashalom, something that not could be acquired. Okay, that's otherwise it's very hard to understand your shalmi. Beseder, we'll if you like continue.
And it'd be the same thing for fruit in an orchard.
Fruit and orchard, in what sense? Yeah, so that's a machlok bin Rebbe Meir and Chachamim in terms of when you can you buy the future fruit, or discussion, I should say, with Rebbe Meir, the future fruit that will be bought. Yeah, exactly, same type of thing. Yeah, there's a discussion. Yeah, I think we discussed it. If not, we certainly will discuss it, because
Thanks.
it's a definite will be there. All right, Beseder.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, by the way, so just to be clear, fruit that's already formed on a tree is different as opposed to the ubar that's inside the mother. I'm not sure if that's what you're going to. Because here we're saying even if it's inside the mother, it's not like it's already balolam. It's
Yeah,
already
I
there.
was thinking before it's begun to grow at
Yeah,
all.
but going to undergrad, correct. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Is that it? Well done, I'm good.
Shkoyach.